stallions at stud in the USA. He's sired 41 stakes winners in his first five crops, and that includes two-year-olds of 2012. 26 of the 41 have won graded stakes, including six grade one stakes winners. The leading money-winning son of Spitestown is grade one stakes winner Haynesfield at Airdrie Stud. Haynesfield won eight stakes and $1,319,481. He won stakes at 2, 3, 4, 5 every year he raced. He won the historic Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup at the direct expense of Blame, who went on that year to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic and an Eclipse Award. That was Blame's lone defeat of the year. And let us remind you that the list of past winners of the Jockey Club Gold Cup abounds with those which went on to become successful studs. Haynesfield, the most successful son of champion sprinter and leading sire Haynes, Spitestown, stands for $10,000 due in the foal stands and nurses, and his first foals following a successful year at stud are due this year. Once again, Haynesfield stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brer and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
When Jackie and I moved to Bourbon County, that was about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis, from the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Good morning, everyone, and we are here at the Thoroughbred Center in the Clocker Stand. Busy, busy morning. I think we've got 69, 70 work, something like that this morning. Well, probably not through yet. People have a tendency to come out a little bit later on these nice sunny days, and of course the track's in great shape today. It was in good shape yesterday as far as that goes. We had a bunch of workers, but I don't know where they're all coming from. You know, there's not too many opportunities to run around here this winter. They're running 3 days down at Turfway a week in
Beulah.
Well, nobody hardly from here goes to Beulah.
Right.
You know, you better go up there and win, you're going to lose money. Purses aren't that bad,
I know. Gas goes up a dime and you're in the hole.
That's just about right, especially if you've got a diesel pulling with, you know. But, anyway, we've had a few winners, not very many because of not many opportunities. But I'll get to that in just a second. Alan Kershaw is down to Bluegrass Equine Center down at Salvisa, Kentucky. He's going to come by. And Alan was for many years out of Gainesboro. Before that, I don't know. I'm going to find out, though.
I think it's Kershaw.
Okay, K-E-R-S-H-A-W.
I think I've known that name. I've run into somebody.
You know, I've never met Alan, but I knew who he was, and I've heard a lot about him, and I've been, of course, knew that he was out of Gainesway and read about him and everything, and but going to have an opportunity to meet him this time. So I'm looking forward to that. Dr. Doug Byers is on his way in. Doug, I've been keeping up with Doug. He's been sneaking around a little bit. I understand he was out at Keeneland for lunch one day, and then he went out for a beer just the other day.
On that Hoochie Coochie place up on North New Circle Road.
Is that where he
went? I understand he was there.
Well, he was with Dr. Bernard, so he was in fast company.
Some Hoochie Coochie place.
Okay.
Tell how old I am.
Well, he hitched a ride with Michael Blowen today, so they ought to be here pretty soon. Of course, Michael's usually late, you know, but that's to be expected. Steve Moody, they're running the LeCompte Handicap Grade 3 down at the fairgrounds today, so we're going to call Steve and let him give us the winner. We're going to take a look at some of the three-year-olds of 1957 we have time, we'll look at Bayou, who was a champion three-year-old filly that year, a beautifully bred filly from an absolutely fantastic female family, and she was went on to be a superb producer herself. If we're going to take me a little while to talk about her, but don't have enough time, well, I'll talk about Venomous, who was a really fast filly, strictly a sprinter, but she was a good filly and very consistent. She was a daughter of this well-known stud called Mel Hash. Which,
oh, yeah, on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, a son of Hash, who was my questionnaire. Now you're getting back where you heard of something.
Uh-huh, yeah, exactly.
But anyway, she was also a half-sister to Dandy Blitzen, who was a very fast filly, and she was by that outstanding son of Bull Knee named Bull Dandy. And I don't know if Mel Hash or Bull Dandy ever sired anything else, but obviously the mare, who was by Heatherbroom, who's by, I think Heatherbroom was by the Porter, by Sweep. I'm pretty sure that's right. Anyway, we're going to talk about her. And, of course, we've got Jackie's announcements. And
short.
Short, and, well, got a few of them.
A few?
Yeah.
I mean a few.
Very few. All right, now I was talking about the winners out of here so far this month. We've had 11 winners. And I tell you, you know, I hope they keep running at least 3 days doing March, but I mean February and March, but I don't know what they're going to do down there. I know they would depend. At first they said it depended on the size of the fields. And, well, the fields have been good, very good. And then they switched around. It depends on the size of the handle. Now, I don't know about that, so we'll find out what's going on. But I was afraid that the horse population here at the training center would really drop off, but it hasn't. There's a whole lot of babies out here. I mean, people are sending their two-year-olds out here now to get them ready. So, and anyway, there goes the clocker's phone. They're still working.
Clocker.
All righty. Well, anyway, so let me tell you who's won races this month. Chuck Hamilton won a race. John Booker. Adolfo Marcias had won two. Larry Lay won one. Tommy Short. Paul Garcia. Robert Sturgeon. Brian Michael. And then last Sunday, Paul Brown Jr. won with Gentleman's Approval, and Tom Bergen won with Faisal Prince. Faisal Prince won a very nice allowance race. I think that might have been a feature race. It was either the sub-feature or the feature that he won with Faisal Prince. Good allowance race. Nice kind of a horse. All right, there's Luis Jurado coming in here to work one. I'm going to give him a call. What time is it? 10 minutes after 10, he's just now working a horse. I think I'm going to arrange. I get up at 4:30 every morning. I'm going to call him and wake him up so he can get out here and train a little earlier. You shoot me dead, wouldn't you? Well, last Saturday at Santa Anita, the Pasiana Stakes was won by Snowfall, a 5-year-old mare by Warfront. She was bred by Stonerside Stables. Now, Snowfall sold for $160,000 as a weanling out of Keenan. Won stakes earlier in her career at Delaware Park. And she is one of 17 stakes winners, 26 stakes horses from Warfront's first three crops. And that includes two-year-olds of 2012. Now, and last year, he was represented, Warfront was, by 11 stakes winners, five of them graded stakes winners, including Datalink, winner of the grade one Makers 46 Mile. Wonder where what that 46 means, the Makers 46 Mile. Anyway, and also Sweet Orange, who won the grade one Mercedes-Benz Hong Kong Mile. Now, earlier grade one winners by Warfront are The Factor and Summer Soiree. The 2012 yearlings by Warfront sold for an average of $231,067, and his weanlings averaged $237,778. Warfront, one of 202 stakes winners by the Great Dancing, and out of the $546,000 stakes winner Starry Dreamer, Dam of Three Greatest Stakes Winners, stands for $80,000. Doing the full stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at ClaiborneFarm.com. I'm looking for Sally Van down there. No Sally? Well, I can talk about Sally. They've been in business since back in the 1950s. And Jackie, hand me that card over there. One of those cards. Anyway, Sally they donate so much of their time and efforts around here to charitable things. They always haul in horses for free for old friends, and they just. It's a great place, great outfit.
Oh, they've been here forever.
Yeah, and Nicole Pirat runs it over there. It's a great family. I've known that family, the Pirat family, for many, many years.
Me too. I know where Nicole's parents went on their first date. What do you think of that?
They're fabulous. They brought us another horse last week.
Brought you in. Here comes Michael and Doc. They do a whole lot of things over there besides haul horses all over the country. They don't. They've got Ben Eversole over there will repair your trailer and work on your diesels, trucks, and everything. So they just do about everything that there is to do over there. So you give them a call. The number over there, let's see. Well, that you know the Sally number. Now, this is Ben Eversole's number. Where is Sally's number? It's SallyHorseVillains.com. 967-8267. That's an 800 number. Thank you. You know it. You call it all the time, right, Michael?
Yes, sir.
Oh, here's the one with the
yes,
Sally
sir.
Number.
Oh, and that's the local number.
The local number? Oh, that's the same number.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. We got it, Jackie. We got it. We're covering them.
You never know, Michael.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to our regular Sally.
I have my fast dial.
But
I just have to push
a
button.
You do.
I do. Yeah.
I bet they'd like to get a hold of that.
I bet they would too.
And cut your throat, probably.
Yeah, really. Going, oh, not him again.
Yeah, right.
I said, don't you have caller ID over there?
Well, anyway, if you want your horse to haul right, you know, they've got great people working for them. I mean, they're horsemen, and they're handling your horse. You know that it's being done right. As a matter of fact, back when I was in the breeding business a little bit, if I was busy, I wouldn't even bother to go with the mayor. I'd just send him over with the Sally man, and they were in better hands than if I'd been with them, I'll tell you. So give them a call over there. They're great people over at Sally Van, and so do some business with them. They really support the industry. Well, all right, breeders, pay attention to this. If you hold an existing live foal contract to any of these stallions, and I'm going to list them in a second, you'll automatically be entered into a draw for an additional free season to that stallion. Or if you sign a live foal contract by noon, February 8th, you'll also be eligible for a free season drawing. Now, the stallions involved are Artie Schiller, Bellamy Road, Colonel John, Drosselmeyer, Gemologist, Pioneer of the Nile, Sydney's Candy, Spring at Last, Super Saver, and U.S. Ranger. Now, they might have added, they've moved the vinery horses over there, more than ready. And is over there now, and so is Congrats, and Street Hero, and Pure Prize. They've all moved over to Vinery. So I don't know if they're...
From Vinery.
From Vinery.
Yeah.
Yeah, over to Windstar. And anyway, they are... I don't know if they're included in that list or not, but you can ask. If you can get a free drawing to More Than Ready, I'd go over there and
breed. I'd go that quick.
Damn right.
Wouldn't waste any time.
Congrats, too, as far as that goes. So, but anyway, call Windstar and talk to Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard. A chance, Tim. Number over there is 859-873-1717. Now, let me explain that again. Once again, if you hold an existing foal contract, or if you sign a live foal contract by noon of February 8th, that's high noon, you'll be eligible to participate in a free season drawing to that particular stallion. Now, that's a heck of a deal. So call Jerry Duffy or Leanna Packard or chance, Tim, 873-1717 for more info. About the Windstar stands, check the website at windstarfarm.com. Ready? Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Doc.
Hey.
Hey, Ursel. Good to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Another sunny day here at the Clocker Stand.
What are you driving down there today? Is that your...
It's the other Buick.
How many cars you got?
Boy, two old Buicks.
Two old Buicks.
I'm old. You notice that? You got to be at least 60 to drive a Buick now.
Well,
isn't that great?
Yeah, it's great.
It's at least 60 to drive a Buick? Hell, I ought to have two.
These are pre-Landau roof Buicks.
What?
Pre-Landau roof. When I used to go to Suffolk to the parking lot, you could always tell the last time one of the players had a big hit because it was like the car would be a beautiful Buick, like 12 years old with a peeling Landau roof. You know, you knew that they hadn't had a big ticket for, they hadn't had a ticket in 12 years.
I owned one Buick in my life.
Oh, yeah?
And I was in the service and we just came back from overseas and been gone forever. And got back into California, in San Diego, and we didn't have any transportation to speak of, so about three or four of us got together and bought a 1940 Buick. And we wrecked it once, and I came home on leave. And
that's usually all it takes.
I came home on leave. No, we survived. That was, okay. It was still moving. But when I came home, I came home on leave, and by the time I got back, it was a goner.
It was gone.
Yeah.
Well, these are, one was donated by one of our supporters named Charlie Pegg, who donated the Buick Riviera, the one that we're fortunate enough to be driving around in today. And then we have the Buick LeSabre that was donated by Charlotte. So,
oh, very good.
And we got a truck donated by my friend John up in Boston.
Everything's donated to old friends, including doctor of veterinarian care.
Yeah, really. Yeah. Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Well, who's the horse at Sally Hall for you?
Horse named Disturbing the Peace. Nice sprinter from California. About 15 years old. Earned about $500,000. He's the only horse to win the Pat O'Brien twice. And
named after you?
Disturbing the Peace?
Yeah.
Now that I think of it. Try not to. So you got Alan Kershaw on today?
Yeah, Alan's coming on.
Great.
Yeah. I've never met Alan in all these years.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, well.
He was one of the people, when I first started All Friends, he really gave me some great advice, and at least he wouldn't openly say that he thought I was crazy.
Well, a lot of people did.
Yes, they did.
Including me.
Openly. So it was nice of him not to.
Openly and behind your back.
Yeah, both. Yeah. Doesn't mean that wasn't true, and doesn't mean it's still not true. Well, we have more horses now. And it's
more horses? No.
Well, we have 127.
I remember when you had one.
Yeah, I do too. Those were the days.
Yeah. I'm on his throat now.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
These horses.
Doc's on him all the time now.
Well, it's got to be a doc going out, or unfortunately, if one passes away, then we get to take in another one.
There you go.
But the glass is full.
I bet it is full.
And
is the New York outfit full, too? Mm-hmm. Full up there, too?
Yeah. They're trying to raise some money to expand their farm so they can take in some more.
Mm-hmm. I got a call from a lady named Marilyn Wade. Do you know Marilyn?
The name's familiar.
She called from Saratoga. They've got an organization now where they take off-track horses, and they take veterans who have that post-traumatic.
Right, sure. Traumas. Oh, no, I know about this program. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, and work with veterans, and they say it's doing remarkable things for them.
These horses do amazing things. We're just scratching the surface. There's a kid, I turned down 18 horses this week.
Oh.
No.
18 just this week.
Yeah. And this, that hurts, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's terrible because you're talking to these people who are completely distraught. You know, there's this one woman who called me. She's been taking care of 5 old thoroughbreds for 6 years. She's been paying their board and taking care of them and everything. Well, now she's sick. She can't take care of them anymore, and she's looking for a place for these 5.
Mm.
I mean, then there's this kid. He's a 9-year-old kid. His name's Colby, and he likes our horse. I'm Charismatic for some reason, and he's got a really severe. He's really got some issues with cancer, and he's waiting. They're waiting to build him up so he can have a bone marrow transplant. And all he wants is pictures of I'm Charismatic.
Oh my God!
You know, so I mean, you think about what these like I'm Charismatic and Colby. His mother says, you know, this is one of the things that's keeping him going is this old horse. And I'm Charismatic, believe me, was no great race horse. Mm-hmm. You know, he's pretty much an old gelding with some, you know, with some arthritis issues and some, you know, issues that you get when you're an old campaigner. And he still has value to this kid.
Yeah.
You know, so you know. Whether it's the veterans working with them or the TRF program at the prisons or turning them into hunter jumpers or just into pleasure horses.
Riding for hope.
Yeah, sure. All of these things. I mean, we're just scratching the surface on what they're going to be able to do for people. We just got to be more imaginative.
Yeah. Well, that's. So well, that's anyway, good. She's coming down here in February, so I told her to give me a call. We'll get her on the show.
Great.
I think she knows you.
Yeah, I know her now. It's coming. It's clear to me now. It takes a little while. You know, it's like trying to get the station in the frequency, fog, right? You know.
Trying to tune it
in. Tune it in. Get it tuned in. I'm trying to tune in by Timothy Leary.
Oh, God.
Well, he tuned out.
Yeah, he turned out. I interviewed him once. I went out to Beverly Hills.
Somehow this doesn't surprise me.
He lives on the edge of a cliff in Beverly Hills. And
somebody should have pushed him off it a long time ago.
I'm getting to that. I said he was starting a tour. He was going around to comedy clubs, but he wasn't a stand-up comedian. He called himself a stand-up philosopher. He'd go around to the comedy clubs and do his stand-up philosophy. But he lives on the edge of a cliff. And I said, what are you going to do if there's an earthquake? He says, I'm going to go outside. And I'm going, wow, I don't think I'm ever going to take anything he took. I just don't think that's going to be happening.
He took everything, didn't he?
But I had this poster of Howdy Doody. And Howdy Doody was part of the Say No to Drugs program. So it's big picture of Howdy Doody and says, say no to drugs. And so I gave it to Timothy Leary as a joke.
Yeah.
But instead of him accepting it, he wrote something on it and gave it back to me. And it said, just say no, Howdy, K-N-O-W, Jim Leary. I still have it hanging up in the basement.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I bet. Did they give him a decent burial?
What?
Did they give him a decent burial?
Jackie wants to know if they gave him a decent burial.
He was all right.
Well, he couldn't complain.
He wasn't the worst guy that ever lived.
No, I guess. No, he was relatively harmless, I guess.
But I know that you and Jackie are looking for some way to celebrate Valentine's Day. And, you know,
we are.
I know that every year you're trying to find a really, really great place to celebrate the Valentine's Day with you and Mrs. Romance, right?
All right.
So this year, February 14th at the Kentucky Theater.
14th? The Valentine's Day is the 13th.
I don't think it is.
It's the 14th. Is it the 14th?
That's why she's Mrs. Romance and you're not Mr. Romance. You don't even know what day it is.
I was just going to get him a date.
Huh? She was going to get me a date, she says.
With Millie.
Okay, send her along. But anyway, at the Kentucky Theater, we're going to have a fundraiser for old friends and to save the Kentucky Theater, to rebuild a lot of the Kentucky Theater. And
I thought they already did that.
No, that was 20 years ago. It needs a little
Where
more work.
He?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. And the theater is a beautiful place, and it's a great, just one of the great assets of the community. Anyway, on February the 14th, on Valentine's Day, it's only going to cost $10. We're going to have a screening of Sabrina, the great Billy Wilder movie, and we're going to introduce some of the things that I donated to the theater from my old movie days. Like letters from movie stars and stuff like that, saying you're a jerk, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
James Stewart, whoever gave you a license to write about movies, where'd you... No, I didn't get... He was nice. He was nicer. But some of them weren't so nice.
He was a pilot in World War II.
Loved airplanes.
Flew missions, you know, in France.
In his office at Columbia Pictures, he had a very modest office, and he was semi-retired at the time. But he didn't have any movie stuff, but his entire office was filled with pictures of airplanes.
Mm-hmm. Well, he flew bomber missions during World War II.
He was a colonel.
Well, I didn't know.
Well, I'm just telling you. I get a little background here. You want to hear a cool story? I mean, this has nothing to do with the subject at hand, but whatever does around here.
What subjects?
He was so nice. We'd gone around the studio and done this interview, but at the end of the day, we went into his office, and we were just sitting there kind of relaxing, and I looked down at the edge of his desk, and there's a big stack of red envelopes. Mm-hmm. And I said, excuse me, Mr. Stewart, if you don't mind my asking, what are those red envelopes for? And he said, well, those are thank you notes. I said, thank you notes for what? And he goes, thank you notes for people that send me birthday cards. I said, what? I said, you send a thank you note to everybody that sends you a birthday card? He says, yes, I do. He says, when I came out here in the 30s, he says, Mr. Strickland, who was the head of publicity at MGM, said, all these people are your friends, and you treat them that way, and so I do it. So about 6 months later, it's his birthday. So I send him an aviation book, really nice copy table book with lots of planes in it. And about 2 weeks later, I get this letter back from him. What are you, testing me? He was the greatest. They don't make him like him anymore. He reminds me of you, Ursula. Reminds me of Doug, too. You know, you guys remind me of those guys.
I didn't know
what good. What do you mean by that?
I don't know.
Stay tuned next week for the answer.
I don't believe he was referring to looks, though, Doc. Well, let me take a break. We'll get Doc on.
Yep, February 14th, Kentucky Theater. Make your Valentine's Day plans. They serve beer in the concession.
And what's the movie again? Sabrina.
S-A-B-R-I-N-A.
Audrey Hepburn.
It's a fabulous movie.
Yeah, I've seen that. Humphrey Bogart.
Yes.
And
William Holden.
William Holden. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Only I've seen it on.
I'll buy you a beer if you go.
Oh, they're going to serve beer there?
Beer and wine.
When I used to
I'll
go
get
to
Jackie
Kentucky
a glass
as a kid,
of wine.
When I used to go to Kentucky Theater as a kid, they didn't serve beer or wine.
They had to bring it home.
That's why I stopped going once they took sound came in.
Oh, let me tell you this. Wayne Mackey's loaned me a DVD, Where He Got It, of Kentucky.
Yes.
And Jackie and I are going to this weekend. We're going to sit down and watch it.
Great.
Yeah, with Richard Greene and Loretta Lynn. And Walter Brennan. He was playing an old man when he was a young man.
He used to always flip a coin. Him and Barry Fitzgerald flipped a coin. All right, you play the old horse guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this was, 1937? Well, it had to be 38 because the
it's
Derby.
It's in color, isn't it?
Yeah, it's in color.
I think so.
Yeah.
No?
I never
Yes, it's in color.
I saw it in sepia.
Yeah. They showed the Derby in there was War Admiral's Derby, you know.
Nice.
So I'm going to watch it.
Well, when you're done, can you let us borrow it? I'll go over to Doug's and we'll watch it together.
Oh, yeah. You'd love it. You'd love to see.
Because every time I go over to Doug's, Susan fixes me something fabulous to eat. I got a turnover right in my pocket right here.
Yeah.
It's right here.
I've been hearing things about Doug. Doug's been catting around a little bit, you know.
Yeah, he's been getting around. I know. He's at a bar the other day. He's going out with Off an Hour today. Telling you.
So oh,
yeah, go Doug.
Got a busy social schedule.
Trouble.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyway, Dun Donnell broke his maiden by 12 lengths, won Group 3 stakes, ran second by a diminishing neck in Group 2 stakes, then came to this country in his only start in the USA, ran fourth in a field of 14 in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Expectations are very high for Dun Donnell. Smoking in the boys' room, another promising youngster, despite his name, by first defense, won a maiden special by nearly 4 lengths and ran second in the Turfway Park Preview Stakes. Other first crop runners include Fire Guard, winner of a maiden special at Tampa by 6 1/4 lengths, after he'd placed in her first two starts in the maiden specials at Saratoga and Belmont. Got Her Cheap, winner first time out at Delaware. That's her only start to date. Resolute Bay has posted a pair of wins at Woodbine. Silver Strike, winner first time out of a maiden special at Keeneland. Blue Bullet, winner of a maiden special in Japan. List just keeps growing. First Defense broke his maiden by 8 1/4 lengths at Belmont as a 2-year-old. Went on to win stakes at 3 and 4, including the Grade 1 Forgo at Saratoga. Bun Bridal Song and a Grade 1 stakes winner, Honest Lady, a half-sister, by Seattle Slew to the top Sire Empire Maker. It stands at Judmont Farm for 7,500 live foal. Also at Judmont's, the only sire of 2 winners of Grade 1 Breeders' Cup races in 2012, Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmontfarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at frisnet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2- and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at brisnet.com or call 859-223-4444.
Well, Country Day is a stakes-winning son of champion Sprinter Sprightstown out of the graded stakes-winner Hidden Assets, and she's the daughter of the brilliant miler, Mount Livermore, sire of 77 stakes winners. Now, that's enough to stamp him as a top sire prospect right there. Now, throw in the fact that Country Day's female family has already given us such outstanding sires as Aladar and Grand Slam, and that Country Day earned over $500,000 while winning stakes on dirt, turf, and artificial. And you have the complete package. Country Day is standing its first season of stud this year for $5,000. Payable when the foal stands and nurses and your inspection's invited over at Crestwood Farm. Also standing there are the stallions Get Stormy, a multiple Grade 1 stakes winner of over $1,600,000 by the outstanding sire Stormy Atlantic. Mutata, one of 109 stakes winners by Mutocton, his first foal to 2-year-olds. Grade 1 winner No Biz Like Showbiz, winner of over $1,500,000. He had 2 stakes class first crop 2-year-olds in his first crop last year. Grade 1 Millionaire Taste of Paradise, a proven stakes sire. And the multiple graded stakes winner, Tis Deja Vu. Tis Deja Vu as first foals of yearlings. Also, there are Channel, the full brother to the champion English Channel by Smart Strike out of Belvaba Theatrical. Get in touch with Pope McLean over Crestwood, 252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
¶¶
All right, I've got Dr. Doug Bauer here with me, the old runabout, going to bars and hoochie clubs and all these things now these days.
Well, you're getting well.
Healthy living.
Yes. Doc, what's going on this morning?
Talking around things. First of all, I think Michael wants to thank Dr. Cavey for bringing in some.
Dr. Cavey gave us some Lamagard. The little silver chime came up a little foundry one day.
Oh.
And that was bad. So Dr. Cavey generously donated some of this Lamagard stuff that he has, and you know, 2 days later, Little Silver Charm was back on his feet and running around again. So.
Boy, he's got that Reborn and Lubricin and stuff like that, and
he's got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, but anyway, that's really
Dr.
great.
Albright. Yeah. Well, go on, Doc.
Well, just going to talk around a few things. Nutritionally.
All right. Are you practicing what you preach? That's what I.
Michael tells me what to lie. say with.
How nutritious is that beer we've been?
Yeah. That's some good beer. That's some good beer. Dr. Bernard and I went down.
They went down to the brewery, West 6 Brewery.
Yeah.
Oh. Now you're talking.
I've never been there.
I never have either.
Yeah. So
it's grade one.
Is it
grade one steaks?
Grade one steaks?
STAKES. Grade one steaks beer.
Oh.
You can bring your own food. They don't serve food there.
Yeah. But you just go down there and drink beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. You can take it home, too. They got these big jugs you can take
home. Oh, they
got
these huge jugs. Yeah. I don't know how you'd get one home.
Yeah.
Well, you can drink it on the way.
I got mine home. I don't know. I'll give you some lessons.
I bet you did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think Doc needs any lessons on how to drink beer.
No, go ahead, Doc. No, I'm just going to help him carry it.
Well, we were talking about some nutritional stuff, and I don't know a whole lot of nutrition, but, you know, we're thinking about horses and their tolerance for things we give them.
Mm-hmm.
And so horses would be exposed to toxins. Mm-hmm. Being in your feed or anywhere, grasses, whatever. Exercise can lower their threshold and they make them vulnerable. Their age makes a big effect prediction of problems, which Michael deals with, trying to keep them held together.
A lot of us are dealing with it.
Yeah. parasites. And a lot of them don't get adequate nutrition, parasite control. So it wears them down. So they need their vitamins and their minerals and all that stuff. And so a lot of the vitamins are E and D. They're oxidized and they don't stay stable too long. So you have to replenish them and keep them healthy. Vitamin C you need for your blood vessels. Vitamin K is for bleeding, for blood. So you keep those things pretty stabilized. But we have this whole, probably for the last 30 years, this whole generation of antioxidants and oxidizers that are supplemented. And so we've got more supplements now than we can understand. And Levamisole is an immune modulator, and it's been around forever. It's actually a cattle drug.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these horses get supplements. Now, how they use them, how effective they are, kind of ill-defined. Some add a little bit of this, and that's good enough. But they're not really that precise. And a lot of these supplements are counteracted by steroids. So you give steroids to horses and they immunosuppress them. So then you got to
put
the immunostimulant in. And so the antioxidants are in the diets, sometimes too much. They can be toxic. The oxidation metabolism for the cell gets enough insult to it that it can have problems with it. So we've just got a world that's not really regulated. And we've got way too many things, and everybody's going to make a buck. So, you know, a lot of these young horses that be at racetrack could be getting toxic metabolites. And so the bottom line is common sense, is moderation.
Yeah.
Keeping the diet balanced, proven products, and a lot of the feed companies are pretty careful as to making sure they have product quality and don't go out on a limb. And that's the most common thing. But everybody's got it's amazing to me. You look in the tack room, you don't know what they're...
I don't have to look in the tack room.
Yeah.
Jackie gives me so many supplements.
Yeah.
I'm afraid to stop because something's working, you know. And
I know, I drink... Well, I take Lubricin.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So does Jackie, among other things, you know. And I tell you, you know, she's giving me all these things I've been taking out this... I just shut up and take them, you know. Looked on a bottle of one of them, you know, and it says Korean ginseng. Well, last time I was in Korea, they were shooting at me. And now here I am taking this damn stuff, you know.
Well,
it's a lot of water under the bridge.
Yeah, right. A whole lot of water.
And the poor horse doesn't get a choice.
About 50 years.
Yeah, the horse doesn't get a choice.
Yeah, about 50 years of water going on. Anyway, yeah. But, either it's working or the good Lord just doesn't want me.
Yeah.
I don't know which it is. Probably a little bit of the both. But
I think it's the latter.
Probably the latter.
Yeah. You just think about the horses and what they get and what they don't have any choice with.
Yeah, yeah.
And modern.
I don't either.
Well, we were feeding Little Silver Charm this grain, and, you know, he seemed to be doing pretty well with it for a while.
Then, well, you got to watch those ponies. You can't feed them like that.
I know.
Can.
I'm learning.
Jeez, how long have you owned this pony?
No, quite a while.
20
just,
years.
Why is he keep just learning on me? Stupid. Anyways, but
he got out from under Doc's care. That's what it was.
That was the problem.
And you screwed it up, didn't you, Doc?
Yeah, I screwed it up. I know I did.
Yeah.
But I gave him some hay that was a little too rich. Now he just has grass hay and some carrots, and he's doing fine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we talk about obesity and people, and these horses are...
Yeah, they're prone to it.
They're prone to it, too.
Yeah.
And too much nutrition is worse than sometimes too little.
Yeah. So,
it's a little too rich.
Yeah. We've got... that mare, the Jackie Fox hunts, you know, in the summer, we have to muzzle her. She just blows up in a minute
on that,
gets on that grass,
muzzled.
You know.
That's the best thing they could have put together was that muzzle.
Yeah, with a little hole in the middle of it. Yeah. Well, then she picks all day, but she didn't get much.
Yeah, we have to use one of those on Afternoon Delights, Curie's Clown.
Somebody working one?
No, it was
working. Oh, okay. Well, let me take a break here.
Okay.
All right. Well, January 9 at Aqueduct, the $75,000 True and Blue Stakes was won by Head Hart Hoop, son of Intadab. Displaying the speed which carried his sire to multiple graded stakes wins, Head Hart Hoop led from flag fall to finish to win by 2 1/4 lengths, 109 flat. Boosted his earnings to over $380,000. He'd finished third in the Valley Ford Stakes at Parks in his previous start, and he had gone into the Valley Forge off a 109-1 win at Aqueduct. NADAB stands for $2,000 live full. Get a lot of run for your money. Average starter earns $52,000, so that's 26 times the stud fee, and some 15% have won or placed in stakes. NADAB is passing on the speech which saw him win the Grade 2 phenomenon stakes. I can't even say that. Anyway, it was in Saratoga. 6 furlongs and 109, the Grade 2 True North stakes, both in New York. And the Iolo stakes, 6 furlongs and 108 and 4, earned more than $530,000. Stands at Shadwell Farm, home also of Albertus Maximus, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, and over $1,328,000. Grade 1 winner De Hare, sire of 8 winners from 9 starters, including a multiple graded stakes winner and 2 others to place in stakes. Horse of the World Invisor, classic winner Jazzles, got one going in their stakes today, I believe, down to Fairgrounds, and the multiple graded stakes winner Mooston Farr. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes, 859-224-4585. See the website at shadwellfarm.com. I want to talk about my good friend Ralph Quillen down in Quillen Leather and Tack, where they're the largest custom halter shop in the world, as far as that goes. They ship out 17,000 halters a year. God only knows how many they sell around here. But I'm more interested right now in that a brewery he's building. He's going to make his own beer.
I think that's a great idea.
Well, I know you'll be the first in line down there to test it.
More than one spot.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to go more than one spot, Doc said.
The hop.
Huh?
The beer hop.
Yeah. Well, Doc, we'll have to try that one. As soon as Ralph gets it open, we'll go down there and test his beer. But, you know, if it's as good as his tack shop, it'll be good beer.
It'll be great. It'll be great. Yeah, I got to go over and impose on Ralph some more because we haven't imposed on him in a while because he's getting all his halters ready for the sale and everything. So I don't like to bother him when he's making money. But when he lets his guard down, I sneak in like on a Tuesday afternoon when he's not expecting anything and with a list.
Oh, my goodness. Ralph, you're forewarned there. Well, anyway, if you don't know where Quillen Leather and Tack is, you should. It's down in Paris, and if you're coming in from the Lexington area, you go to the third stoplight and look to your left, and it's a great place to visit. It's a fun place to go in there. They even have tours come in there now. And a great products, everything in there, wonderful gift shop, and nice people. It's worth a visit if you're just going there to look around. It's Quillen Leather and Tack down in Paris, Kentucky, and go to quillen.com. For the website. Well, Mythical Power earned more than $821,000 competing against many of the best of his generation at distances from 6 to 9 furlongs, won 2 graded stakes, sprinted 7 furlongs in a blistering 120 at Santa Anita, ran a game second to Quality Road, he's standing for $25,000, in historic Grade 1 Woodward Stakes, bested Kentucky Derby winner Mind That Bird in the Sunland Derby. He also placed in the Grade 2 San Carlos at Santa Anita. Mythical Power is by Congaree. So I have 10 stakes winners in his first 2 crops, including Geronimo, winner last Sunday, the Grade 2 San Gabriel Stakes at Santa Anita. Geronimo earlier won the Grade 1 Shoemaker Mile, and the San Gabriel was his 6th graded stakes win. He's earned over $1,197,000. Congaree himself, you may recall, won 5 Grade 1 stakes, placed in both the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness, earned more than $3,267,000. Mythical Power standing his first season at stud for $7,500, doing a full stanza nurses at War Horse Place. And pay attention to this. If your mare is one of the first 15 booked to him and you breed twice, you may receive a free breeding right for life. Inquiries to Jerry Assinger. He may give you his phone number. It's at 859-509-0053. Or Dana Assinger, 859-509-3157. Or go to the website. Pick up those phone numbers right there at warhorseplace.com.
Geronimo.
I don't think your mic's on, Mike. Yeah, go ahead.
That Geronimo did run a great, great race last weekend in San Gabriel.
Yes, he did.
Tough horse.
And Congaree's got one going today somewhere in the stakes. I forget where it is, but it's got a good shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Telling you, it's an exciting day for racing. We got the Eclipse Awards tonight. We got the Sunshine Millions today in Florida. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it is. I want to see Mucho Macho Man running down there again today.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to touch him today.
Well, he's, you know.
Even off the layup. Mark Valesky's coming back today for Brary.
Yeah.
Yep, Mark Valesky looks tough in there, too.
Yeah. Boy, that'd be nice if you could win for him down there. Yeah. What's that, the LeCompte's Inn?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Doc?
Yeah?
You're in bad hands running around with this guy.
I'm always in bad hands. He circles the fort.
Does he? Yeah,
well, you mentioned Eclipse Awards. I've got to be prejudiced towards Charlie Lopresti and hope they can pull that off.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I got so many clients represented in there, I'm afraid to say anything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, Charlie, as a little story, when I was up at the Mayo Clinic, he called up there and he dedicated a race for his horse. I can't remember. But anyway, he dedicated it to the Mayo Clinic.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Well, that was nice.
Yeah. So. And he won.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, see, you've got the
I can't wait to see Charlie in a tux tonight.
All right.
I see Charlie in a tux. Amy will be all dressed up. That'll be great. You know, he might win three. You know, Wise Dan might win three.
Well, we'll see.
She's got to win turf.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. Some of those
horse
things,
of the year.
Some of those
things
are
wide open.
Older male.
You know, some of those things are just wide open, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, I could be totally wrong. I mean, that doesn't happen that often. I know that. Well, I mean, totally wrong. Partially wrong all the time.
Out of the 28 of the 36 equine finalists, out of the 36 of them, 28 of them are Kentucky bred.
Fabulous.
Four of the five nominees in the multi-category nominees are Kentucky breds, and all three finalists for Horse of the Year. Can't miss there.
No, it's great.
So Kentucky breds still dominate, even though the racing around here is
well, they'll
scarce.
They'll get it back in gear.
I hope so. I don't know. What's going to happen.
Well, Barrett and Libby are down there at Eclipse Awards, I'm sure. You know, this is a great thing they're doing at Gulfstream. I really wish I could have snuck away and gone to this year, because they're doing a lot of interesting things. They're doing a golf tournament. They're raising a lot of money for aftercare.
Yeah.
Barbara Livingston donated a beautiful portrait of Ogeijin for their auction, and we donated a special tour of old friends.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So they're going to raise a lot. They're going to, and people donate a lot of really other things that are a lot more valuable than what we donated, but to raise money for aftercare. So they're really, really doing it up at Gulfstream. And I think they're trying to get it so that people realize that they can have events around the Breeders' Cup. It's not just let's go to a hotel, have a meal, and you know, give them the awards and let's go home. You know, they built it around the Sunshine Million, so people can go to the races today, see great racing, and then go to the Eclipse Awards tonight and have some parties. I mean, it's going to be really – I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sure
especially
it will.
Especially for those of us who aren't attending.
Yeah.
Oh, and we should give Nick Nicholson a pat on the back. He's won the special merit award for Eclipse this year, so that's really – that's good. I mean, should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to seeing it on TV. I think it's going to be on HRTV tonight.
Is it on HRTV? Mm-hmm. What time does it start, do you know?
No, I think 8 o'clock, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Kentucky plays basketball at 9.
No, that's why there are a lot of stations and a lot of channels and a lot of programs. Right. You know, they're also selling used cars on one of those cable stations. That suits your fancy.
Well, listen, the way they've been playing, I may watch. I may go to HRTV, you know.
Oh, my goodness. I saw a good movie. I just want to tell people they should go see Silver Lining Playbook.
Okay, what's that about?
It stars this girl, Jennifer Lawrence, who's from Louisville.
Okay.
She's an amazing actress. I mean, she is absolutely amazing. And she got nominated for an Oscar, I think. Anyway, she's really good in it. And it's about – it's a love story set in Philadelphia around the Philadelphia Eagles, mental patient, and a girl with a tart tongue.
Oh, okay.
And it's really great.
Yeah.
There's not a false note in it.
I believe that I've seen some previews or something on that. Yeah,
it's playing at the Kentucky Theater.
Well, when it,
and if you're not doing anything for Valentine's Day, you can go to the Kentucky Theater and see Sabrina.
Promote.
Yeah, I know. We're crying out loud. I used to go to Kentucky all the time back when it was 15 cents. You know, they used to have vaudeville at the old Ben Ally
Really
Theater. Yeah, Yeah. Used to be a bunch of movies downtown. There was the state was right next, was just two doors down from the Kentucky.
That's like the Kentucky 2 now, the state. That's what they call the theater next door to theirs.
Oh, okay.
Next door to the main auditorium.
Yeah. And then there was the both the Strand and the Ben Ally and the Ada Mead, but nobody ever went there because they said there were rats in there. And, of course, the Opera House. And
the Opera House was a movie theater?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Must have been really nice.
The Opera House is right where it is now.
Yeah.
That's where it was, you know. Right across the street was where Nicole Pierrette's grandfather opened the first one of the first appliance stores in Lexington, you know. He was selling fridges and things like that, you know, black and white TVs right after the Civil War. Right after Civil War. No, right after World War II.
Ursula hit the Wayback Machine.
Yeah, I did.
Well, stop.
Well, my grandfather was a Civil War veteran. So there you are. You know, that must be Alan that just came in and never met him.
I saw Alan coming up.
I'll let y'all go.
Alan's here. The main event's here.
Main event.
Like vaudeville. We're the guys who just opened for the star. Dean Martin.
Well, thank you all for coming around. Doc, take care of yourself.
So thanks.
Stay away from those hoochie-coochie things. Well, Patio Prada was a runner. The grade one stakes went over $1,721,000. And he could run on anything. He won grade one stakes on grass, and he placed in grade one stakes on dirt, New Kentucky Derby. Grade one stakes on artificial. That was the bluegrass. All told, he won 5 stakes, all graded, including the grade one secretariat. And he placed in 4 others, all graded, 3 of them grade one. Patio Prado is one of 87 stakes winners by El Prado. In fact, he's one of 10 grade one stakes winners by the emerging Sire of Sires. Kitten's Joy, fee $50,000. Medaglia d'Oro, fee $100,000, are also sons of El Prado. Out of the graded stakes winner Funhouse and from a family deep in black type, Patio Prado's first foal is due this year, and he stands bar $15,000 due in a foal stands and nurses at Spendthrift Farm. Contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Mark Toothacker, or Ned Toffey, and be sure to inquire about breeding incentives available to some of the Spendthrift stands. As a reminder, if you had participated in Spendthrift Farm's Share the Upside program to end the mischief, you would now own a free breeding right to that hot young sire. The number at Spendthrift is 294-0030, and see the website at spendthriftfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about a couple of products, Lubricin and Reborn. And Alan Kershaw just...
Kershaw,
okay.
Otherwise, you have to say Kersenthite.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, Alan, I've been reading your name, but I never had to meet you face-to-face before.
I've never had the honor of meeting you either.
Well, there you go. I don't know if it's an honor or not, but thanks for coming anyway.
Yeah, it is.
Well, Alan, of course, has got the equine training center down at Salvisa, Kentucky, and that's fairly new.
Well, it's been there a while. I think Bill Deaton had it a long time ago.
I remember
that.
Bill out there building that inside covered track himself.
And that was it.
Is it still covered?
No.
Okay.
But the base is a phenomenal base on it. We resurfaced it a couple years ago. But the base was, he did a good job. And he also designed and built a turf course.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get back to you on that. Okay. You're not being interviewed yet now.
Okay. Well, I'm just trying to push it a little bit.
You're welcome to push. I'm getting back to Lubricin and Reborn. I don't know if you use those products or not.
Well, at times.
But they're products that I happen to believe in. I take it, Lubricin, and Jackie takes it, and it's moved us up a little bit. And it's hard to do at our age. But the two products that I have, both of them were developed by Dr. Steve Alday. And they're endorsed by lots of owners and trainers and vets. And both, incidentally, are all natural, so you don't have to worry about going through the spit box. Now, Lubricin, put it simply, sustains the integrity of the joint fluid and can help reduce the need for costly and painful hyaluronic acid injections and so forth. A lot of trainers use it. Todd Pletcher and Tony Dutrow and Jerry Hollendorfer and Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them. Now, Lubricin, you farm managers need to take note here, it's a Reborn. Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe and easy to use as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages. especially it would be important, I would think, with foals, because you could use it and help. You know, we're always running out of colostrum at these various veterinarian clinics around here, saying it would be a supplement to that. And it has a high concentration of growth factors and antibodies, and it supports immune functions in horses of all ages as far as that goes. And that's Reborn. So they're both really top quality products, Reborn and Lubricin. And find out where to buy it. Now, a recommended dosage is, remember the names, Lubricin and Reborn. That's Lubricyn and Reborne. Go to the website. Or you can buy it at KBC in Lexington or at Horse Sense, and I hope you can buy it down at Quill and Tack right now, because I talked to Ralph the other day, and he said he was going to start stocking it. So give him a call down at Quillen and see if they've got it. Well, Giant's Causeway was the nation's leading sire in 2012, and he's ranked number one three times and among the top 10 for eight straight years. He's gaining a reputation as a sire, like Charmadal over in Europe, First Samurai in the USA. Now, Cowboy Cal is a multiple graded stakes winner of over $1 million by Giant's Causeway. He won stakes at 2, 3, 4, every year he raced. Won 5 graded stakes, placing 6 more, 4 of them grade 1, sprinted a mile and 133 flat in the grade 2 Oak Tree Mile, 134 and 2 as a 2-year-old. He was, to quote Todd Pletcher, a genuine miler that carried his speed over a distance. And last year, first crop yearlings by Cowboy Cal sold for up to $150,000. He stands at Pin Oak Stud, 7,500 live foal. Also at Pin Oak, Broken Vow, the nation's third leading sire 2012 stakes winners with 19, and Eclipse Award winner Sky Classic. He's sired 59 stakes winners and more than 100 stakes horses. So for more information, get in touch with Clifford Berry or Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website at pinoakstud.com.
I got the horse right here.
All right. I'm talking for a couple of minutes before I have to take another break. Now, I'm talking to Alan Kershaw. I got to pronounce that right that time.
Yes.
Kershaw.
But the accent's just in the middle somewhere.
In the middle?
Yeah,
it looks like two syllables. This is Dutcher here,
hey,
Alan.
Dutcher.
Yeah. He's,
is he the co-host?
He's the co-host. Morning. Hi, Dutcher. How are you? He's a very silent co-host.
Yeah, well, best kind.
You're right. that's Matt Howard's oldest. That's the oldest. He's got a little brother now. But anyway, I knew Bill Deaton real well, and when he developed that out there, and I remember when he was building it many, many moons ago now.
Yeah, I remember just reading about him early on when I was a groom, you know, because he helped develop the interval training, things like that.
Yes,
he was one of the first ones, you know.
To do some interval training. He used to win some races.
Yeah. So
I talked to him about it a couple of times. I was interested in it. And as a matter of fact, we tried it with some horses. And it, if you do it right, it works.
I think so.
But there's extremely time consuming. I mean, it takes a long time.
And that's why he probably had his own place, right?
Yeah, right. And good clients.
That's it.
Patient clients.
Very patient. Very patient.
But every time we tried it, we just did it with our own. They ran.
Yeah.
And one thing about it, we had to try it with horses that we couldn't sell. We bred our own and sold our own, and we had to sell the ones that could run and the ones that we ran ones that couldn't run, and either because or of us.
And it's good you're in that position to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to give them away at times.
Well, I know. But so. We were able to make it. I mean, nobody retired, but, you know. I mean,
well, that's good. That's good. Very good.
Now, this goes way back anyway, but we had some fun doing it. Yeah. Did you ever try?
We do, I think, a version of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we do it with an older horse at times that doesn't want a lot of work or a lot of speed and putting one down. And I've got a good team out there with a good rider, Kevin Caskey, and a good manager, that Rachel Kimball, that sits there and watches this stuff. And then we lay out a program specifically for certain horses.
Yeah.
You know, young horses would do a little more, older horses a little less, but still I'm a big believer in putting some speed in them all the time, you know, so.
And what do you all do down there besides train?
We have a rehabilitation center also.
Okay.
So we have a hyperbaric chamber, which, interesting, Doc And I have had that discussion before, Dr. Byers, about the hyperbaric. And, you know, he's not over the hump on that one yet. And so it's always been a good conversation.
Yeah.
And then we have a aqua tread, which I think is very good with horses that have had some injuries and they're just coming back.
Yeah.
Because you can put them in the water, get them moving a little bit with a little concussion to help that bone start developing, and then get them to the track before just going from the stall to the racetrack.
Yeah.
You know, as we know, Dr. Bramlage is really big on that concussion and gradually building that bone back into the animal. So I try to follow just certain little recipes and again, individually on the sport, you know, or on the horse that we like. So
a lot of people don't know where Salvisor is. Can you tell them?
Yeah, if you go toward, take the Bluegrass Parkway and get off at the Harrodsburg exit and go 5 miles, and that's where we are.
Yeah. How long is it? How far is it from Keeneland?
About 25 minutes.
About 25 minutes?
But it's all good highway.
Yeah. And you're not too far from Louisville either.
No, it's about 40 minutes from Churchill Downs.
Is it that close?
Well, it is when I drive.
I'm glad I'm not with you.
That's what everybody says.
Remind me,
especially if I've lost a race I should have won. Then it's maybe 35 minutes down. Yeah. So.
Do you all train? Are you a registered trainer?
No, I'm not. Okay. No, I'm just sort of the general manager. I'm just the orchestra.
Do you
leader.
Run many horses out of there?
We don't run out of there. Mm-hmm. We try to send them. Our particular trainers for the principals are Mike Baird in West Virginia, and then we have Mike Maker also.
Oh, okay.
So that's where we send ours. And then whoever the owners that come in for a rehab or to break their yearlings, and they just ship them to wherever they send them.
No mares or
no,
bowl,
not nothing, there. Nothing. It's specifically a training center. And we have
from turnout facilities?
We have a turnout facility. We have 11 paddocks, about an acre each. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good...
Yeah,
it's a great rehab spot.
I would think to just come in and rest, you know, because right now there's not many opportunities to run around here, and a lot of these people. We were afraid that this place would lose a lot of horses during the winter months,
right.
But we haven't.
Well, your track's very good here too.
Oh, it's a hell of a track.
It's a very good racetrack.
Yes,
so
it is.
Why wouldn't you want to accept? If you want to come to the Bluegrass Equine Center, why not come here, right?
Do you have gallops?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, I thought Bill put gallops.
You know, and the thing about it, we have the track, the 5-furlong dirt track. And then we have the 7-furlong designated turf gallop.
Okay.
But then there's areas you can hack and just go. Yeah. You know, it's not a big place, but it's a great place to take it off the horse's mind. You know,
are you on the left going down that road?
Yes, on 120.
Yeah, we've been
Louisville
there.
Road.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I was down there when Bill was down there.
Yeah.
Well, you need to come by. Take a peek.
I will.
You know, because we're there.
We live in Bourbon County.
Right, that's so a long way.
That's a long way. Yeah. Long way from a lot of places.
Yeah, but, you know, highways they are now.
Yeah, well,
so it doesn't make it that hard.
Yeah, all right. Well, let me. I'm supposed to do this 5 minutes ago. I'll do it now. We'll
all
get
right,
back to you. Well, January 13th at Santa Anita, the Grade II San Fernando Stakes was won by Fed Biz, a 4-year-old colt by Giants Causeway. The $950,000 graduate of the Keeneland September sales, Fed Biz was bred by Colt Neck Stables, trained by Bob Baffert. He won the El Cajon Stakes as a 3-year-old last year. In fact, he was one of 23. 2012 stakes winners by Giants Causeway, the nation's leading sire of 2012 stakes winners. Giants Causeway was also the nation's number one ranked sire on the North American sire list with the earnings of over $10 million. He's ranked first on the sire list 3 times and among the top 10 for 8 consecutive years. Something tells me he's going to make it at stud. The sire of 129 stakes winners, Giants Causeway, stands for $85,000, doing a full stands and nurses at Coolmore's Ashford Stud. Ashford Stud's also the home of Majestic Warrior, the nation's leading sire of 2-year-old winners and with 30 in 2012, and the sire of Princess of Silmar, winner January 5 of the $100,000 Busanda Stakes at Aqueduct, and Scat Daddy, the leading freshman sire in 2011 and the second-ranked second crop sire in 2012. For more information about the stallions at Ashford Stud, call 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com.
WLXT Lexington, ESPN Sports Radio 1300, Kentucky's number one certified pre-owned dealer.
Toyota Nicholasville, what price sells cars?
Well, Spitestown climbed to number 2 on the 2012 sire list among stallions that stood in the USA. He sired 41 stakes winners in his first 5 crops, and that includes 2-year-olds of 2012. 26 of the 41 have won graded stakes, including 6 grade 1 stakes winners. The leading money-winning son of Spitestown is grade 1 stakes winner Haynesfield at Airdrie Stud. Haynesfield won 8 stakes and $1,319,000. He won stakes at 2, 3, 4, and 5 every year he raced. He won the historic Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup at the direct expense of Blame, who went on that year to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic and an Eclipse Award. That was Blame's lone defeat of the year. Let us remind you that the list of past winners of the Jockey Club Gold Cup abounds with those who went on to become top sires. Haynesfield, the most successful son of champion sprinter and leading sire Spitestown, stands for $10,000 due in a foal stands and nurses, and his first foals following a successful year at stud are due this year. Haynesfield and Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones Airdrie Stud. The website is airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit. All righty, I'm talking to Alan Kershaw. Oh, golly, I got it right that time. Laura Everett just caught up with me.
That's right. That's right. As it does in our business.
It does. More ways than one, unfortunately. Right. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah,
yes.
So some of these trainers get on a roll. And I think the worst thing that ever happened to Jackie and I is I think the first 4 horses we trained all won, and it was downhill from there.
It's all downhill, man. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly right.
Where are you from originally, Alan?
I'm originally from a town called Kankakee, Illinois, 60 miles south of Chicago.
Yeah, I know where Kankakee is.
As Marlo Guthrie said, the train pulls out of Kankakee, the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, that's right. Kankakee. Now, isn't it close to Evanston up that way?
Yeah, it's not that far. No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. Is it on the north side, isn't it, of Chicago?
No, south.
60 miles south. Okay, down close to Homestead.
Yes.
Right in there. Okay, yeah. Where old Washington Park used to be.
Yeah, we're about 30 miles from there.
Okay.
In that region.
Yeah.
And Cicero and all that.
Yeah, I'm dating myself now if I knew when Washington Park was.
Well, I guess we both are.
Okay. You remember it too,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm not alone.
But I never went. So no.
Was your family in the horse?
No, not at all. No.
How'd you get interested in horses?
Well, I came to the University of Kentucky.
That was a mistake right there.
No, not that I look back. And went into architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And so then one's drawn to Keeneland in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to Keeneland. And
While you were in college?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And then I said, oh, well, that looks pretty easy. You know, you can finish third and win $2,500.
Yeah.
And then, just like today, nobody tells you that it cost a lot to win that $2,500.
Exactly.
But I thought, boy, that looks pretty good. So then I just eventually evolved into getting my degree with animal science.
Oh, so, okay. At UK.
At UK.
Yeah. Did you work summers anywhere?
Yeah, when I decided to go into horse business, Cobb Ryan gave me my first start.
Okay.
And I don't even know how much I was making. I just wanted to start because I had no experience at all. And I was about 21 years old.
Mm-hmm. Now, was Cobb's place?
It was right behind the airport, Twin Brook Acres.
Okay.
And it was 70 acres.
Yeah. Now, he had riding horses too, didn't he?
Riding, and he taught riding. That was one of his big things. And I hooked up with him at University of Kentucky, and that's where I first was involved with him because he taught a class, Introduction to Horses.
I didn't know that.
Like that. Oh, yeah. And he taught.
In fact, I hadn't heard that name in years.
Yeah.
He's been gone a long time.
Yeah, he's been gone a while. But he gave me my first start. He hired me with no experience and said, here you go.
Well, you don't need a whole lot of experience with a pitchfork, do you?
No, you don't. In a wheelbarrow. Okay. I didn't even have a wagon. I had a wheelbarrow.
He didn't even give you a muck sack.
No. No, it was a wheelbarrow. But one of his best friends was Lars LaCour. So after that.
Now, there's a good horseman.
He put me in with Lars for 3 years.
Okay.
And
Clovelly.
At Clovelly, yes.
Yeah, Robin Scully.
Yep.
Is Robin still alive?
He is. As far as I know, he is.
You think he would have read about it?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Yeah. I mean, because he sold the farm. Farms all sold now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah. Because he, the original Clovelly was right out here on Paris Pike.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he bought over on Kenny Lane.
Correct.
Yeah.
The old Widener.
The old George Widener place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that was a great experience. That was one of the better experiences for me.
Well, he was a superior horseman. I love that barn over there.
Oh, yeah.
on the Kenny Lane. Well, you probably weren't with him when he was over on Kenny Lane.
That's when I did both.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because Mr. Scully owned both those pieces when
yeah,
I was there.
Yeah, that barn they had with the circular barn.
Exactly.
With good jog in there, you know.
Exactly.
That was a great.
Many a sales yearling, I walked that many times in the middle of the summer. I wasn't happy with it then.
Don't you? Well, no. Robin, they used to sell mostly Saratoga, didn't they?
That was a good place. That's what my introduction to the high class end, you know, was Saratoga and how nice it was up there.
Give me a time frame on this now.
That would have been 1977, I think, to about 1981, in that range.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I went to Chatillon Farm with Steve Johnson. He was the general manager over there. Oh. Who's at Margot now.
Oh, yeah. I know Steve very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so Steve hired me to be his assistant. And then after that, I got the job with Sheikh Maktoum.
Now, Chatillon Farm, that was Walden's place. Right?
It was, but then Harry Rainier and Dr. Lockridge bought it.
Oh, okay.
And then I worked for both those people for a year. And then Dr. Lockridge took, I believe, what Ashford is today.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Rainier kept Chatillon, and I stayed there.
Now, Chatillon's on the the Midway Versailles Road.
Midway, right? Old Frankfort Pike.
Yeah, right on
Midway the Road, Old Frankfort
right
Pike.
On right on the corner.
Yes.
Yeah, right on the corner there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Tracy Farmer owns about 250 acres now. And then when I was at Gainsborough, Mr. Stronach owned the other half behind it. That was still part of Chatillon. And then because I knew how good the soil was there, we bought it at Gainsborough. So now it's part of the Darley operation.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long did you stay at Chatillon?
Another 3.5 years.
Yeah. Where'd you go from there?
To Gainsborough.
Okay. You were there a long time.
I was there about 23 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
It was a good gig.
A good gig?
Yeah.
Yeah. You all raised a lot of runners over there. Some nice studs over there. Who did you all have over there at that time?
Well, we started with Shadid because originally Sheikh Maktoum was not going to have stallions.
Yeah.
And a lot of people maybe don't remember or don't recall, Shadid stood his first year at Three Chimneys with Robert Clay because they had a very good relationship. And then at that time, Robert was developing his own stallion roster.
Yeah.
And so he basically asked Sheikh Maktoum if Shadid could stand over at Gainsborough. And so we built a stallion complex for Shadid initially. Mm-hmm. And then after Shadid, Sheikh Mohammed sent in, which is Sheikh Maktoum's brother, sent in, it was Quiet American, and then Elusive Quality.
And that's a couple of nice horses there.
Some nice horses. Yeah. And then we had our bums too. You know, then we had Torrential, which I don't even know if he ever had a winner. And then then we raced some. Labib came in as a turf horse. And then we also stood.
Labeeb?
Yeah.
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 I mean, what was he by?
He was by Lirfan.
Was he? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's.
Tough horse.
Grass
tough.
All the way.
Yeah, it? Tough.
Yeah. Well, it's not as tough as it used to be to sell to stand a grass horse.
No, but the horse himself was tough, is what I meant.
He was one of the toughest horses.
Yeah. Oh, well, he was just winning it his way.
Oh, okay.
So
I had a girlfriend like that once.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I think we all have, and probably more than we want to speak
well,
about.
Well, you're smiling at over there. Well, I've been over there at Gainsway, but I really didn't
know. That's Gainsborough.
I mean Gainsborough. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't. Of course, that's Gainsway right there. Of course, Gainsway's moved around all over the place, too.
They really are, aren't they? You know,
yeah.
Anthony does a good job over there.
Well, I remember when John had the place that belongs to Keeneland right now, you know.
Really?
Right across from the airport. Yeah. John was there.
Hmm.
Yeah. He was standing studs at there. Yes, where he started standing studs. As a matter of fact, I can't think of who was over there. I think he had Olden Times over there at one time. Because
really?
That was a horse that was shopped around quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I just remember Olden Times being out in the boonies, I thought, toward the end of his career.
Well, Hargis's, Sexton's wife was, I think, a niece of Rex Ellsworth.
Oh, okay.
And that's the reason that they ended up with him over there. But what a nice stud he was.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Yeah, and a hell of a racehorse. A front runner that could go 2 miles. You know, really. He won the San Juan Capistrano at a mile and three quarters. I'm pretty sure it was a mile and three quarters. That was the shorter version of it. You know?
That's right. That's right.
Wired to field. I mean, he was by Relic, son of Relic, War Relic. You know, but Relic went to France, but ended up there anyway. Man, what am I talking about all this stuff?
It's okay.
Let's get back to you.
Things people should know.
Things most people have forgotten.
Exactly. Yeah, they need to know them.
That and a book will get you a cup of coffee. Yeah. Well, you were there for 17 years, and then you left to go out on your own? Or?
No, then after Sheikh Maktoum died, and then I was there for 3 years to help his brother, Sheikh Mohammed, just do the transition. Mm-hmm. And then it was time for me to go, and after 3 years. So then I was hired by these people to manage and oversee the Bluegrass Equine Center, and they also own a farm over on Yarnelton. I just sort of oversee that with tenants.
On Yarnelton? Yeah. What's it close to there now?
It's right next to War Horse and Kentuckiana there on the corner. They bookend it.
Yeah.
It's the old Northridge farm,
part of the old.
You know how Hillendale is the beginning, and then you keep moving through the Vinery and across the interstate to War Horse.
Is War Horse place, is that the old Donna Rail?
I don't believe so, no. No, it was all Mr. Groves had that.
Across the interstate from where the racetrack is.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, that's where Donna Rail was. You go around that little turn that was on the left.
That may still be there, but War Horse is the first one on the corner there.
Okay.
And then it's the Colonial Ridge is what we call this particular farm. And then you get into Kentuckiana and back to Ironworks.
Yeah. Okay. I know the old Crimson King farm.
Exactly.
Back down there.
Exactly. I remember some of these places you're talking about.
You don't look that old. Crimson King goes way back, though, you know.
And because Shannon managed that place, too.
Shannon Wolfram. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
See? I remember.
Well, Pete Salmon, and I knew Mr. Salmon and Pete.
Mm-hmm.
They had, because they bred Crimson Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And Son of Spice on them. Oh, what a nice horse he was. He did end up over at Gainesville. He never desired much, so did he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me get back to you. Well, last Saturday at Santa Anita, the Pasiana Stakes was won by Snowfall, a 5-year-old mare by Warfront, bred by Stonerside Stables. Snowfall sold for $160,000 as a weanling out of Keeneland, won stakes early in her career at Delaware. She's one of 17 stakes winners, 26 stakes horses from Warfront's first three crops, and that includes 2-year-olds of 2012. Now, last year was represented by 11 stakes winners, 5 of them graded stakes winners, including Data Link, winner of the Grade 1 Maker's 46 Mile, and Sweet Orange, winner of the Grade 1 Mercedes-Benz Hong Kong Mile. Earlier Grade 1 winners by Warfront are The Factor and Summer Soiree. In 2012, yearlings by Warfront sold for an average of over $231,000. Weanlings averaged over $237,000. Warfront, one of 202 stakes winners by the Great Danzig, out of the $546,000 stakes winner Starry Dreamer, dam of 3 graded stakes winners, stands for $80,000, doing a full stands and nurses at Claiborne Farm. Inquire to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business, the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Parrish. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners both here and abroad first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek, and the Clay Ward Agency. That's a winning combination.
Well, I said at Gulfstream, the grade $250,000 Fort Lauderdale Stakes was won by Mucho Mas Macho, a four-year-old son of Macho Uno, and that same day the $75,000 Cotton Fitzsimmons Mile went to Tiziania by Giacomo, both bred by Dina Springs. Macho Uno is off to a great start in 2013. Just days earlier, his four-year-old daughter, grade two Hollywood Oaks winner Potesta, was sold as a breeding prospect to Stone Street Farm for $800,000 at Keeneland's January sale. This following a year in which he had sired the winners of over $7,237,000 to rank 10th on the sire list among stallions that stood in North America. Tiziani is the 16th stakes winner, 7th stakes winner, 16th stakes horse, 7th stakes winner from the first three crops by Giacomo. Giacomo was the sire of 9 stakes horses, 5 stakes winners in 2012. In fact, some 14% of his starters from his first three crops, and that includes 2-year-olds of 2012 that won a place in stakes. Tiziani shipped in from California to take the Cotton Fitzsimmons Mile following wins at Santa Anita and Del Mar. Macho Uno stands for $20,000. He's the only Kentucky-based sire among the top 10 on the 2012 sire list to stand for less than $25,000. And Giacomo, winner of the Kentucky Derby and over $2,537,000, stands for $5,000. Fees due when the foal stands in nurses. Inquiries to Eric Hamelback at Adena Springs, 859-987-1798. See the website at adenaspringsstallions.com. All right, I'm talking to Alan Kershaw at...
No! Kershaw.
Okay.
First syllable.
That's
been the funniest thing on the whole show.
Damn it, Alan. Alan, you're going to have to change your name.
I guess I will. Well, how about just Shaw? We'll just go to Shaw.
Okay. Roll it, Shay. All right. Cleaned that up a little bit, didn't I? All right. Kershaw. Damn. What kind of denomination is that now?
English, I think.
English, you think?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, well, they don't know what they're doing over there anyway.
The accents are always messed up.
All right. Well, all right, Alan, I got that right.
There you go.
All right. Who's over at Bluegrass Equine Center? Been over in Sal Visor. Been over there for, I mean,
about 3.5 years now.
I didn't realize you've been going that long.
Yeah, well, it's gone through a few little changes throughout, and
just tweaked it as you're going along.
As you know, you have to. You have to tweak any organization a little bit here and a little bit there, and now I think we've got a good formula for it, and move forward, because we've trained a group one winner or broke a group one winner off of that.
Okay, who was that now?
That was Johar.
Okay.
Colt by Johar.
Yeah.
And he was in our first of this particular team.
Mm-hmm. Who'd you break him for?
For us, the principals.
Okay.
And
did you all own him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Still own him?
Still own him.
Okay. And where is he now?
He's with us right now, getting a little R&R, and just because he had a heck of a 2-year-old career, you know?
Yeah, right.
And he ran in the Breeders' Cup, and then we came back and ran him at Churchill Downs and the 2-year-old stakes up there. And he was not feeling very well that day. We probably shouldn't have run him, but we did. And so now he's just getting some R&R.
Yeah.
We're moving forward with him.
What are you pointing him toward?
That's always, as I've learned a long time ago, that's the trainer's decision on where to eventually figure out where they're going to go.
Well, who's going to train him, Mike?
At this time, Mike Maker.
Mike Maker.
Would have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did he have him before?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's done real well with him.
Oh, he did.
He does real well with a lot of horses.
He does. And we were very fortunate because we had three for the owner come over, and he was one we picked to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said early on, I like to move them, get them going if they can. You know, there's no need to turn out certain horses. I really believe that.
Well, that's true.
And so this horse showed it, and he showed it in his abilities to keep going with him, and we did. And my objective with him was to start in April at Keeneland as a 2-year-old, and he did.
Yeah.
And so we met that objective, and I hope it'll probably be like you all with your first four winners, right? I'm planning for this guy to be the last one, but we'll just keep moving forward.
Yeah, it went downhill from there. I was telling Alan about that. You know, we started out real good. We thought it was going to be real easy, but it turned out it worked. But that's all right.
Piece of cake.
Yeah.
It's a piece of cake.
No, of course, he won the Breeders' Futurity. Yeah, right out of here. Yes, he did. Yeah.
Okay. And so we were very, it was a big boost for us and the program and everything else. Mm-hmm.
Johar over at Mill Ridge.
That's correct.
Yeah. So. He was kind of a grass horse, wasn't he?
Yeah. He won the Breeders' Cup Turf.
Turf, yeah.
At Santa Anita. That was the day Mandela won those four.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because Sheikh Maktoum had won in that race, and we didn't win. So I remember that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Who do you have in there?
We had Stormin' Home.
Oh, okay.
He was the horse that's known more for not his racing success, but the one that dumped Gary Stevens at the wire in the Arlington Million that time.
Oh, yeah. That
goes Gary was hurt pretty bad.
Yeah. And gee whiz, yeah. That's just been the top, one of the top jockeys just got, Dominguez got hurt yesterday.
Did he?
Real bad.
Jeez.
Skull fracture.
Really?
Yeah. Up in New York. So everybody keep him in their prayers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, those things, that's the name of the game. That's the reason they keep a medic here. Where's, there's my medic standing behind me now. She's getting ready to go.
I thought that was for you.
Yeah. She's supposed to take my pulse every half an hour.
That's what I thought. She's been sort of sitting back there eating her donuts. I haven't seen her do the pulse thing lately. So.
Well, I guess, yeah, right. Well, anyway, well, she also helps me with clock. I put her to work clocking. She gets over there and scribes, you know, writes them down and everything. Does a great job.
Well, that's a good thing, man.
Yeah, I'm living in fear, though, when we get real busy. We had 60-something works, almost 70 works today, and I was afraid somebody'd get hurt and they're going to call her away. We did have a rider go down and fall off, and couldn't wait to see if he got up or not. Well, he got up and he wasn't limping. I said, well, Holly, you don't have to leave.
Yeah, we're good. Everything's good. Dr. L said this, everything's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, Alan, I guess we caught up. I'll let you go.
All right. Well, it's a pleasure. And it's a pleasure to meet you finally.
Well, you too. And it's Kershaw.
It's Kershaw.
Yay.
All right. Come back anytime.
I can spell it anyway.
There you go. There you go.
Well, it's a pleasure meeting you. And like I say, I just never had an opportunity and never did any business with Gainesway over there for some reason.
Gainesboro.
I'm in Gainesboro. Well, I've never done any business with Gainesway either. I don't think they like
it. Do business with somebody.
Like, well, right. You know. Yeah. Thankfully, I've got a few friends, but they don't know me very well. That's what.
But you're not the only one. I used to get mail for Gainesway when I was at Gainesboro. So you're not the only one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the Gaines people, John Gaines' son over here, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, Gaines Gentry.
Yeah.
And the young man who was up here a while ago, Matt Howard, manages the Gentry Brothers farm right now, you know.
The gentleman from Texas.
Well, no. He's from, don't say that around him. He's from Kansas.
Kansas, that's right.
He just got back, accepted like an Eclipse Award for quarter horses, you know.
Okay.
Out in Oklahoma City. They were giving him away.
Oh,
beautiful.
Okay.
Big award. He showed me a picture of it. You know, champion older mare.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah. Frederick. I don't know.
Did you raise it over here?
For sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, they, in fact, they were going to retire, and the owners were going to retire this mare, and Matt talked them into keeping her in training. They put her back in training, and they've won. Now they won this award with her, close to $500,000. So I guess he's in solid over there.
It's easy. It's not hard, is it, Jack?
No, it's not hard. Alan, thank you.
It's a pleasure. Nice seeing you.
We'll come down and see you one of these days.
Would you please?
Sure. We'd be delighted to do so. All right. Are you traveling with this guy?
No, but I'm going to travel. I will say hello. You haven't come in and you have to be doing the show. I just happen to be here looking at somebody else's horse.
Oh, okay. Well, it's good.
I got it on your show.
All right. Well, come sit down a minute. Are you still selling real estate?
I'm mainly an appraiser now, farm appraisal.
You're doing farm appraisal?
Uh-huh.
And Bloodstock.
Now I'm getting old. You're going to have to give me your name again.
It's Michelle Mullins.
Michelle Mullins. Yeah. And I remember when you were training out here and you had that MM on your saddle cloth, and I used to say, is that for Marilyn Monroe? So what are you doing? You're doing, you're appraising now?
I mainly appraise horse farms, yeah. And I do Bloodstock. I work a lot of the sales basically as a scout. I buy for some people and I just create a list for others.
Okay.
I specialize in weanlings and yearlings and racing, that side mm-hmm. of it, you know.
Now, you were with Arnold for a long time.
I was with Arnold Kirkpatrick for 8 years.
Yeah.
I believe it was.
Miss old Arnold.
We all do. We were talking about him with a group of people last night. Of course, Arnold had been vice president of Spendthrift and owned Thoroughbred Record. And, of course, he got into farm real estate and
mm-hmm.
Of course, after I became a mother, we all know that training horses is not the best career for a single mother. So I kind of fell into the equine real estate side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were with Arnold for 8 years.
Yeah. Eight or nine. Yeah.
Yeah.
See, sure.
Yeah. What a great guy Arnold was. He was funny. One of the funniest.
He was hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I knew him when he was young. Knew his dad, Hayden.
Did you know Hayden?
Oh, yeah. I knew that all that bunch over the Thoroughbred Record.
Yeah.
Bud Wallace was the advertising manager. Did you ever know Bud?
I didn't know Bud, no.
Bud would, at Keeneland, he'd have stacks of tickets this thick on horses.
Really?
Yeah. And Dixie Anna had a little horse named Fulcrum. They won the Breeders' Futurity out there, beating one of Hooper's horses who was, and Bud had loaded up on him.
Yeah.
And he had to throw all those tickets away. 2 years later, he came back, and I think it was Dunce he ran against in one of the handicaps out there. And he loaded up on the Dunce again. I believe it was Dunce. And Fulcrum beat him again. And he had a load of tickets like this on Dunce. And he threw them in there and says, I hate that little red SOB.
The gambler has no home.
No.
The gambling dollar has no home.
Exactly right. Well, I'm glad to see you're still around.
Yeah, I am. I'm just not really around the training center quite as much, but I'm a fixture at the sales.
Yeah.
It's still. And so it's sort of racehorses and real estate is kind of is kind of what I'm doing. Of course, you know, training is great fun, but
yeah, I know what you mean.
You know how it is.
Yeah, it's an everyday thing.
Well, it's not that it's every day. It's the bills.
you got to have somebody paying your bills.
That's right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, you didn't start out training, though. I mean, you were, or did you?
No, actually, I started out riding horses when I was 5 in Texas, but I'm a Lexingtonian, and we came back here, and I rode, did Pony Club and whatnot, and then I found out I worked the sales for TaylorMade, I guess, when I was 18 in college, and then I mm-hmm. found out you could get paid to ride horses.
Yeah.
Well, that was a complete... You know, so I started breaking yearlings for Don McKellar. Do you remember Don McKellar?
Certainly I remember Don.
He was a super individual.
Yeah. Remember the Jockey Club?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Illinois, I believe he was from. Wasn't he? Who was the lady that was his trained?
Wendy DeVere.
Yeah, and Wendy.
I think she might still be over here on the hill, but she was over here on the hill a couple of years ago, I think. Wendy DeVere was his assistant.
She's
so
still over here.
I started out walking hots for them on Rice Road and uh-huh. breaking yearlings in the afternoon.
Is that right?
And then
Donald died a long time ago.
He did. I don't know. And then I came over here. You'll love this, to Gallup Racehorses
mm-hmm.
and the big barns here. And the first person I stumbled upon was Jack Jones, and they had Degenerate Gal.
Okay.
And of course, we all know Gal ran off every day with everybody, no matter what the circumstances were.
On her way to winning a whole lot of money.
Exactly. Remember that?
Yeah.
So they put me on her and said, now she's going to go. And I said, well, okay. Yeah. And of course, I got on her and she took off and went around there 2 times. Of course, that's what they wanted her to do.
Yeah.
And the outrider pulled me up and there I was.
Yeah. What outrider?
Was Susie?
I can't remember who it was. Honestly, it was so long ago. I was 19, you know.
Oh.
And I'm 45, so that just tells you how long ago that was.
Hey, a woman admits her age. You're a rarity.
Take that back. Oh. Damn womanhood.
It doesn't bother me.
Maybe she's lying.
No.
There you go.
My age doesn't bother me a bit.
Well, mine bothers me. Well,
so then I went out and worked for Andy Adams. Do you remember Andy Adams, Coleridge out there?
Yeah.
With that wild bunch?
Mm-hmm.
Great people. Wild horses.
I didn't know him very well, because
he was unique. You know, he was a interesting individual from Hazard.
Yeah.
Coal miner.
Coal bunch.
Right. Coal money. And he had horses, I guess, for a while, and decided he wanted to do things his way.
Mm-hmm.
And he built that little training track over there in Georgetown.
And now where is that?
Well, if you're coming from Georgetown, at Georgetown Road, you turn left past Newtown Pike, right where Newtown runs into 460. You turn right, the next left, you go out there, and he built Coleridge Farm. He had it originally out Harrodsburg Road.
Okay.
You know.
I'm not sure exactly where that is. Close to Georgetown?
It's off 460.
Past 460.
If you go Newtown Pike and it runs into 460, you turn right, and there was a little store there on the right, you make an immediate left.
Oh, Leesburg.
Yeah, it might have been Leesburg. Yeah. He built Coleridge Farm out there, and he built a little racetrack. But now, and then he developed it into
a golf course out there.
Right. Now it's a golf course and little 5-acre track type.
Yeah,
field.
I know exactly where it is.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. That's fun. Yeah. Wasn't at the time it was.
Well, I didn't, you know, I was 19, 20 years old and riding horses, you know, getting thrown off and bouncing and put me back on type thing, you know.
Yeah. Where are you from originally?
I'm from here. I was born here. From Lexington.
Yeah.
What school?
I went to Tate's Creek, and then I went to UK, and my mother's father was part of the old Farmer Motor Company. You all might remember that. Do you remember the Farmer Motor Company downtown Lexington?
The name is familiar. What did they sell?
Cars. Motor Company.
Well, I know, but what kind?
I can't remember. I just thought you might know them.
Farmer Motor Company. I'm trying to remember where that was, but I can't place it right now. How long
ago was my grandfather? In the 60s.
Well, I was
not that long ago.
No, that's not that long ago. I can't remember.
I'm from Lexington.
I remember the name Farmer Motor Company, but you don't remember even what they sold.
Cars, but I don't know what.
It was a new car dealer.
He was my grandfather, and he was retired when I was born. I think he was
a new car dealer.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Somebody will call.
Yeah, uh-huh. Some other old poop. All righty. Well, I'm glad to see you again.
I'm glad to see you too.
Yeah. Go out there and appraise that. How's the real estate business doing, by the way?
It's, you know, it's slow, obviously. The supply of fire out seeds, demand.
Mm-hmm.
But there does seem to be, I don't think it's falling quite as far and fast as it has been. There seems to be a little bit of a stabilization.
You know, plateaued, if nothing else.
It plateaued low. How about that?
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of a lot like the horse sales. The good ones sell.
Yeah.
There's a market for the higher end ones, but the market for that has shrunk. You know, you only have a couple handfuls of people in the world who are able to buy, you know, a farm like, you know, Calumet that sold last year for, I guess, $50,000 an acre. So there's still limited pockets. You know, Cobra sold over here. Chuck Fipke came in and bought that place over in Paris last year. Well, 2011. I was involved with Arnold with that.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some significant sales, but there's just not a lot of them.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the horse market. There's a few at the top, some in the middle, and then there's a whole lot that have a hard time finding a home.
Yeah.
Right.
It's been tough on the small man.
I think that marketing time has really increased. There's a buyer out there, but instead of waiting a year, you might have to sit there for two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exposure, marketing period.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going to happen, but doesn't look too bright right now.
No, but, you know, it's not. Like I said, there does appear to be, there seems to be some kind of a stable middle and top, and I think the foreclosures have decreased somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
They've
all been foreclosed, Jackie says.
I don't know, all of them have been, but
all right, Michelle. Okay. Well, thank you. Good to see you again.
Good to see you,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, take care, hon.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. Stop by anytime.
No,
bring your own beer and a folding chair. Well, let's see where I am here. Judd Motz broke his maiden. Dundonnell broke his maiden by 12 lengths, won Group 3 stakes, ran second by a diminishing neck in Group 2 stakes, and came to this country, and in his only start in the USA, ran fourth in a field of 14 in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. Expectations are high on Dundonnell. Smoking in the Boys' Room overcame his name. It's another promising youngster by First Defense. Won a maiden special by some four lengths. Then ran second in the Turfway Park Preview Stakes. Other first crop runners include Fire Guard, win of a maiden special at Tampa by over six lengths. Placed in the first two starts and maiden specials at Saratoga and Belmont. Got Her Cheap, won first time out of Delaware. She's one win, one start. Rusla Resolute Bay has posted a pair of wins at Woodbine. Silver Strike, win a first time out of a maiden special at Keenan. Blue Bullet, win of a maiden special in Japan. The list just keeps growing. First Defense, though he broke his maiden by 8 1/4 lengths at Belmont, as a 2-year-old went on to win stakes at 3 and 4, including a grade 1 4-go at Saratoga. Bon Bridal Song had a grade 1 stakes with Honest Lady, a half-sister by Seattle Slew, the top empire maker. He stands at Judmont Farm for 7,500 live foal. Also at Judmont, the only sire of two winners of the grade 1 Breeders' Cup races in 2012, Mizzen Mass. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry and see the website at judmont.com. Well, Mucho Mas Macho, winner last Saturday, the grade $250,000 Fort Lauderdale. And My Maria, winner of the Panzeretta Stakes at the fairgrounds that same day, were both raised on products from Macaulay Brothers. Mucho Man Macho was bred by Dina Springs, a leading candidate once again for the Eclipse Award as leading breeder. And My Maria was bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. Congratulations to both. Macaulay Brothers has a long-standing tradition of producing the highest quality feeds and nutritional supplements for horses, and they are on the leading edge of science and technology. Their technical staff, headed by Dr. John Liu, provides many services such as ration evaluation, growth rate evaluation, nutritional problem solving, custom feed formulation. Those who have taken use of such services have profited greatly. The performances of horses raised on Macaulay Brothers products gives ample testimony to the quality of the Macaulay products and services. So give Mike Warren and David Longmire a call, 873-3333. Talk to them about any problems you might be having and your goals. And you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Well, Giants Causeway was the nation's leading sire in 2012. That's the third time he's ranked number one. He was also the number one ranked sire of 2012 stakes winners with 23. Number one ranked sire of graded stakes winners with 12. He is also a rapidly developing sire. Sharmer Dahl, First Samurai, Footsteps in the Sand. That said, take notice of one of the most precocious sons of Giants Causeway at stud, Santiva. Never out of the money at two, Santiva won the historic grade two Kentucky Jockey Club Stakes on the dirt, after he'd finished second in the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity on Keeneland's Artificial. At three, he ran second to the multiple Grade 1 winner and millionaire Mucho Macho Man in the Grade 2 Risen Star at the fairgrounds. Then he ran a bang-up race in the Kentucky Derby, closing with a rush after an eventful trip to be beaten just five lengths for all the money. The first son of Giants Causeway to win a graded stakes around two turns as a juvenile. Santiva is out of a half-sister to the brilliant Safely Kept. Champion sprinter, winner of 12 graded stakes, including the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint, earner of over $2,194,000. Santivo has a great pedigree, one that matches exceptionally well with Mr. Prospector Line Mares. Standing his first season at stud at Warhorse Place, $7,500 due in the foal stands and nurses, and if you're one of the first 15 to book to him and you breed twice, you'll receive a free lifetime breeding right. Contact Jerry Assinger, 859-509-0030, or Dana Assinger, 859-509-3157, and see the website, warhorseplace.com. All righty, doing what?
I had a bell to go, Steve.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear you. All right, we'll get this straight in a minute. Jackie, you want to do some...
Yes, I have a few, very few.
Okay.
I had a nice one, but I left it in the printer.
You left it in the printer?
I think so.
Ah.
Kentucky Breds in the Eclipse Awards, which are Saturday night. I don't know. Is TVG or when I'm doing the Eclipse Awards?
HR2V.
HRTV, and if you don't get HRTV... you can go to drf.com, which is the dailyracingform.com, and they're going to have them podcast, I suppose, TV live. 28 of the 36 total equine finalists are Kentucky Breds. four of five multi-category nominees are Kentucky breds, and all three finalists for Horse of the Year, bred in Kentucky.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Hey, let me finish up on that.
Okay.
All right. Doing this for the KTE, my good friend David Schweitzer, and we'll talk about Kentucky breds. Kentucky breds to win stakes last week. The San Fernando, grade two at Santa Anita, went to Fed Biz. That's the Giants Causeway, bred by Colt Neck Stables. The Hal's Hope Stakes, grade three at Gulfstream. Cassaba by Kitten's Joy, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey, won that one. And let's see, the Mucho Mas Macho won the Fort Lauderdale, grade two at Gulfstream Park. That's by Macho Uno, is bred by Adina Springs. That horse is doing very well at stud. He's climbing that sire list, let me tell you. Let's see who we've got here. Got a couple more. Hang on there, Jackie. I'm trying. The Coyote Lake Stakes at Aqueduct EA, bred by Flaxman Holdings. The Fifth Season Stakes at Oaklawn, Do No Harm, bred by the Double Eagle Ranch. The Gasparilla Stakes down at Tampa Bay went to Vitamita, bred by Arendelle Farm. The Pasiana Stakes out at San Diego went to Snowfall. That's a Warfront, bred by the Stoner Side Stables. And that wraps it up for the stakes. That's compliments of the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association in Toba.
All righty. Ralph Quillen, our buddy, down in Paris, the world's greatest tack shop. Ralph has torn himself away from making halters of the first class to open his own saloon in Paris, Kentucky, 719 Main Street.
You'll never get back in the tack shop.
Never. So it's called Rooster Brew. They are making their own beer. And they made it on the farm for a while. Down in the barn with the lights turned off, I guess. I don't know what the...
It's been going on since Prohibition.
Exactly. But they're going to... They took a tank of it or whatever you call it. Bathtub. No, that's gin. Took some of it over to this 719 Main Street. The tale is that when they brewed the first batch on the farm, a no-tail white and red rooster showed up. And he hung around for three batches. And then he probably died. Wouldn't that have been funny? So it's no-tail ale.
But he was happy.
And the rooster brewed, yes, he died. A happy chicken.
Happy rooster.
Happy rooster. Okay. So stop in and see Ralph whenever it's, you know, appropriate. 719 Main in Paris. Now, the horse park today is the 19th. It's the Professional Rough Stock Rodeo Series, which means that they only have riding competitions, bronc riding, bull riding. What else they ride?
Yeah,
is that it? Bareback, bronc?
I don't know.
Anyway, that's what rough stock rodeo means. Now you know. If you're ever on Jeopardy, you'll know.
I got no shot.
Not a shot. Next week is the United States Mounted Games Association. Now, I'm going to tell you something. February 2nd is the John Michael Montgomery concert, but it's after what's called the Kentucky Roundup. All kind of things going on for kids and games and competitions and all kind of stuff. And that's what I left in the printer. So next weekend, I promise, I will tell you what all is going on out there. Sound like a fun day.
Let me interrupt you a second.
Go ahead.
I'm going to have to embrace. January 9 at Aqueduct, the $75,000 True and Blue Stakes was won by Hit Hard Hoof, son of Intertab. Displaying the speed that carried his sire to multiple graded stakes wins, Hit Hard Hoof led from flag fall to finish to win by over two lengths in 109 flat. That ran his earnings up to $380,000. He's finished third in the Valley Forge Stakes at Parks in his previous start, and he went into the Valley Forge off a 109-1 win at Aqueduct. Interdab stands for 2,000 live foal. You get a lot of run for your money. His average starter earns $52,000, so they earn 26 times the stud fee and some 15% winner place in stakes. Interdab is passing on the speed that saw him take the grade two A Phenomenon to handicap, 6 furlongs and 109. The grade two True North, both in New York, and the Iallo Stakes. He went 6 furlongs and 108 and 4 that day. He earned over $531,000. stands in India at Shadwell Farm, home also of Baldus Maximus, winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile and over $1,328,000. Grade 1 winner, De Hare. So I have 8 winners from his first 9 starters, including multiple graded stakes winner and 2 others to place in stakes. Horse of the World, Invisor, classic winner, Jazzle, and multiple graded stakes winner, Mooston Farr. Inquiry to stand manager, Kent Barnes, 224-4585. See the website, shadwellfarm.com. Well, my good friends out at Kesmark have seen so many good horses out there. About as many good horses as I guess probably anybody in the world has seen at one time, unless you live to be as old as I am, and they haven't been there that long. But they've done business with people. Well, let me tell you who's been out there. Grace Hall was just out there to freshen up not too long ago, Magna Graduate. Roses in May and Kitten's Joy and Colonel John and Einstein and Badger Silver and Any Given Saturday and Spitestown. They all came to Kesmark to correct a problem at some time during their careers. And you can believe me when I say the list of well-known horses that also went there reads like a who's who in racing. Now, Kesmark is, let me tell you where it is. It's just a couple of miles from Keeneland on Shannon Run Road. Right across from the castle out there, you turn left as you're going toward Versailles. And they've got a variety of tools at their disposal to benefit the horse that just aren't available anywhere else in Kentucky. And they have the staff that's well-schooled in the use of those tools. Area veterinarians use the Kesmark facilities all the time. In fact, nearly every horse that comes to Kesmark has their own vet. So if you stick around long enough out there, you meet them all. Kesmark opened its doors to horses critically injured, from critically injured to those in need of just a little freshening, like Grace Hall did, and the cost very, very reasonable. I was impressed with a whole lot of the facilities out there, especially the cold water spa. And when I say cold, I mean cold, 35 degrees, and the jets come out, and it'll just reduce swelling in the legs almost immediately, the inflammation. It just takes care of it. There's an aqua tread and a swimming pool and a freestyle walker and an indoor walking ring, jogging rings, a vibrating platform, just a hyperbaric chamber, just turnout paddocks, round pens. They've got it all. Kesmark. So if you need to freshen up your horse and you need a horse that just needs some problems straightened out, they know how to do it. Here's a number over there. It's an 859 number. It's a for sales number, 873-9955. See the website. It's KESMARC.com. Well, in 2012, among the top 10 leading sires in the USA, 3 were based at Windstar Farm, Spitestown, Distorted Human, Harlan's Holiday. In addition, leading sire 2-year-olds, Harlan's Holiday, is at Windstar, as does the leading freshman sire among those stallions that stood in the USA. Spring at last. Champion Sir Harlan's Holiday is on his way to another great year. Last Saturday at Golden Gate, Z-Way, one of 26 two-year owners of 2012 by Harlan's Holiday, won the $100,000 California Derby, bred by Dairy Meeting Farm, Z-Watt, won 2 stakes last year. He was one of 5 two-year-old stakes winners by Harlan's Holiday. And, of course, that includes Shanghai Bobby, who's a shoe-in for an Eclipse Awards champion two-year-old. Harlan's Holiday is also a top 10 sire on the general sire list among those standing in this country. In 2012, he had 13 stakes winners and earners of over $7,442,000. Now, for more information, get in touch with Jerry Duffy or Leona Packard or Chance Tim, 873-1717. Ask about a drawing for a free season to many of the Windstar stallions and see the website at windstarfarm.com. All right, Jackie. Go ahead.
I don't have any more announcements, really.
You don't have any more announcements?
No. There's just, well, if you want to go out to Masterson, you call Parks and Recreation and see if you want to ride in the indoor. But there's not really much going on now. I mean, it starts opening up. I think the end of March is the first, horse show starts. So.
All righty.
That's it.
Well, I want to thank Alan Kershaw.
Yay!
Alan, I got it right that time.
Hey.
Laura Everages. poor Alan. He probably will never speak to me again. Anyway, thank him for coming in, and it was fun talking to him, meeting him after all these years. Winter's out of here since the last meeting, since this month, and with very few opportunities in the month of January to run. Chuck Hamilton, John Booker, Adolfo Marcias again, Larry Lay, Tommy Short, Paul Garcia, Bobby Sturgeon, Brian Michael, Paul Brown Jr., and Tom Bergen of all Sandal winners. So congratulations to them. And that's following of December, where we knocked them dead out here. We had 55 winners in December. Didn't have a whole lot of opportunities to run then. But, they're pretty near full out here, though. I'm really, really pleased that.
Say hello to Susie.
Yes, Susie Shirlett. Yes, Susie is had a hip replacement today.
Former
Tuesday
outrider.
Yeah, well, she'll be back.
Yeah, yeah. And new clocker.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, I'm filling in for Susie while she's in the hospital.
Obviously, that's the requirement to be a clocker. You have to have a hip replacement.
Yeah, right. I had one 4.5 years ago. Right. I need a brain replacement. What I need. Well, Patty Oprada was a runner, a grade one stakes winner over 1,721,000, and he could run on anything. He won grade one stakes on grass. He placed in grade one stakes on dirt. That, incidentally, was in the Kentucky Derby. And grade one stakes on artificial, and that was in the bluegrass stakes. So all told, he won 5 stakes, all graded, including the grade one secretariat. Placed in 4 others, all graded, 3 of them grade one. Patty Oprado is one of 87 stakes winners by Oprado. In fact, he is one of 10 grade one winners by the Emerging Sires of Sires. Well, Kitten's Joy, he stands for 50,000. Medaglia d'Oro, 100,000. They're also sons of Oprado. Out of the graded stakes winner Funhouse, and from a family deep in black type, Patty Oprado's first foals are due this year. He stands for $15,000. Doing the full stands of nurses at Spendthrift Farm. So get in touch with Ken Wilkins or Des Dempsey or Mark Toothacker or Ned Toffey, and be sure to inquire about breeding incentives available to some of the Spendthrift stands. And as a reminder, if you had participated in Spendthrift Farm's original Share the Upside program to end the mischief, you would now own a free breeding right to that hot young sire. So get in touch with them over at Spendthrift Farm, 294-0030, and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. Well, I was going to do something on a couple of horses, but I ran out of time. That's the way it goes. I was going to do something on Venomous, or I can do it next week, I reckon.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll have to. She was a daughter of Mel Hash. She was by Hash. I don't know. I can get a little bit of the licks. A very fast filly. Out of Spiteful Sue by Heather Broom. Spiteful Sue must have been a heck of a mare, because she sired another really good stakes winner by a horse named Bull Dandy. And both Mel Hash and Bull Dandy, I don't think ever sired anything else, to tell you the truth. Bull Dandy was the sire of Dandy Blitzen, who was also out of Spiteful Sue. Dandy Blitzen, as best as I can recall, won the Vagrancy, among other stakes. I believe she went as a broodmare after when Walter Salmon Jr. had Mirworth Farm over there on Bethel Road, just west of Lexington. I don't know if she ever produced anything or not, but Venomous was a very, very fast filly. She won in 1957, won 5 of her 9 starts. Career-wise, she won 13 of 24, with 2 seconds, 2/3. Bunch of stakes races, that, and she could flat fly. Ran against some really good horses, too. Ran against the horses like Happy Princess and Stolen Hour and Louise Belle Amoray. Of course, Amoray was a Calumet horse. Ran against colts, as far as that goes. She was ran against Decathlon, which that was a tough thing to do. Stayed within a length and a half of him. He, of course, he was given to the grandstand. He carried 133 pounds. She was in with 114, but still, that's awfully good. But she was a really nice filly. I don't know whatever happened to her, but she was very, very good filly. She went against Admiral V and TikTok and Rickatavi and Mr. Turf. Porterhouse, who'd been a champion 2-year-old, he was by Endeavor. Well, I think it's time for me to bail out of here, and I want to thank, I guess, Mary Jane down there today. Yeah, Mary Jane, thank you. And, of course, Ressie's here. Ressie Duke's here today and holding us down here. And once again, thanks for Alan Kershaw for coming in.
Very good.
I got it right. And Jackie for coming in and helping clock, and we'll talk to you next week.
Happy trails.